And then we're good to go. Awesome. So I give this spiel that no matter how anxious you think you are to talk to me, I'm not anxious. I am infinitely more anxious all the time. I'm very anxious by nature. It's just who I am as a person.
Yeah. Am I recording? Okay, I'm recording on my end too. I also have two pet rats upstairs, and one of them has a knack of like jumping down like from their table. I let them free roam in their little area, but they have a knack of like jumping down. So like, they're just like sleeping in the morning, but like on the off chance that like I hear a bang, one of them probably jumped off. So I apologize if that happens.
It's okay. I have a 17-year-old brother, so if I just hear noises, I'm like, yeah, whatever. Unless it's coming from my end and then I hear a bang, and then I should probably be very concerned because I'm home alone right now. So if I start hearing a bang, then that might be a problem. So I like to start off with this very simple question. What is your favorite 90s bop?
Oh, I didn't start listening to music until I was like 12. And that was like 2008. Jeez. Backstreet Boys, something by the Backstreet Boys. I want it that way. Let's just call it that. No, Backstreet's Back. All right,
Backstreet's Back. That is a good song. I Want It That Way is also really good. Are you a fan of Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
Yeah.
So you know you know.
Yeah, I know.
As soon as I was like 90s bop, that's it. Did you see that they're ending after season 8?
Are they?
Yeah.
What season's on Netflix right now?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I'm so behind on TV. Like, I don't know what happens.
I haven't seen a movie that's come out in the year that it's been like released since like 2017. So
save money. That's good.
Yeah, I haven't, everyone's like, what do you mean you haven't seen this movie? And I was like, I legitimately haven't seen a movie in years. I am saving time. I spark notes it. Like the last movie I think I saw in theaters was probably Hereditary.
Oh gosh. I don't do horror movies.
Well, here's the thing. Neither do I. But we went on a Tuesday, which is when our local theater is like discounted. And I was so bored. Like the whole time. And I was like, we paid money for this? I was like, I don't get it. So I'm in the back of the theater and I have Wikipedia open on my phone. And I'm like trying to figure out what's going on. Because I'm like, I'm so separated from the plot. And that's how we figured out I don't like psychological thrillers.
Yeah, I only do like comedies and like action movies.
Do you ever do like a comedy horror type?
I've watched Cabin in the Woods. That one's pretty jokes.
Okay.
But other than that, like anything that has to do with like horror, like if it's like legit horror, I'm like, I think if there's comedy though, I'm like, I'll take it.
Comedy, I feel like there's like that payoff. Like I think Tucker and Dale versus Evil was one of those.
Oh, yeah, I got to watch that.
That was a good one. Anna and the Apocalypse was another good one. That's a Christmas movie, actually. And they sing. So it's you got musicals, you got Christmas, and you got zombies.
Wow.
And Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse was another good one. That one was fun.
There's so much like I don't know of. Like anything with like blood and stuff, I'm like, I'll stay away. If it's like horror, I'll stay away from it. If it's action, I'm like, okay, I can take it.
This is how I watch them, just like this, with my hands over my eyes, and then I'll be like,
wow.
Is it over? But I'm a huge fan of animated anything. So
oh yeah, same.
I watched the reboot of DuckTales. Like that's my go-to right now, as I've been keeping up with that. And then what else? Bob's Burgers. My brother and I both watch that incessantly. It drives my mom insane.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what else. Like anything where we watch
South Park?
I have seen South Park. It really wasn't my cup of tea.
Not your thing?
Nah. Family Guy wasn't my thing either, but my dad really likes it. So, you know, we tolerate it, but I've seen every single episode of The Simpsons ever made.
Oh wow. Wow, that's crazy.
And as much as I hate the new stuff, I'm not about to break that streak. I've watched over.
I can't get into Simpsons for some reason. Like I've seen clips and I've seen like parts of it, and I'm like, this is awesome. But like just watching like that many, like I want to start from like season one, season two, just to like I want something to watch. But then like just watching the first few minutes, like I guess it takes a few years for them to like develop it into like what it is now. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean that's the common thing that I hear about it when they're like, "What do you mean?" And I was like, "But I've been watching it since like I can remember." So I guess I'm like predisposed to liking The Simpsons, but after like I think like season eight or something, they switch writers or like the head people leave, and then it just kind of goes a little bit off the rails. So, I mean, it's not for everybody. But when it's funny, it's really funny. But then when it's not, it's like ooh, like some of the jokes have not aged well. Oh, that's not good. So how did you all meet? I wanted to figure that out, because you guys said you met in 2017, or you guys started this project in 2017.
All right.
But how did you guys meet?
So for the listeners out there, Jen found me off a TikTok video, and that TikTok video was basically like my whole path, or like the whole path of my EDM duo, Alex Cade. And so basically that's why Jen reached out to me. But anyway, so Andrea and I, so Alex, that's like her stage name. My stage name is Cade. My name's Kenneth, right? But we actually met through our parents, because her dad's cousin's, no wait, hold up. Okay, my mom's best friend's cousin is her parents, I think. Andrea's parents, Alex's parents. And then we met when I was like, I think I was 11 and she was 13, and we didn't really talk. We were just like, cool. And then it wasn't until like, I think like I was in grade 7 and she was in grade 9, where we had some mutual friends and we started talking just like music stuff. Right. And then like, we've just always been talking about music, hanging out. And then when it came to 2017, like we've both been pursuing music for a bit now. She was doing a lot of DJing, producing. She went to music school, just like me, different schools though. But I just remember like, hey, I work really, really well with her. So that's why I reached out to her. I never had like fights with her. It's like nothing stupid, nothing petty. Right. So I'm like, okay, I can work with her. Let's see if she wants to start a project together. So it was 2017. We started the project. But yeah, like we've known each other since we were kids. Like, what is it, like 14, 13 years now? It's been a while.
Yeah. My best friend and I, we've known each other for 17 years. And we think about that, because wow. I just turned 22, so like over the weekend, and we were talking about it, and I was like, God, that was so long ago. Like, we met when we were 5, but I have very similar stories of, it's my mom's cousin's friend, because my mom's Italian, so yeah. You got the big extended family of like,
yeah,
it's somebody, you know, somebody through somebody, like. I don't know if you read comic books or if you're into that kind of stuff, but the CW has this show called Black Lightning, which was based on a comic book written by my cousin 4 times removed or something like that on my mom's side.
That's wild.
It's the 6 degrees of separation.
Yeah.
But how do you,
everyone knows everyone.
Everybody knows everybody somehow. And that yeah. is a scary, scary thought. So how do you feel like, do you feel like TikTok has like increased your streams? Like, how has TikTok like affected the project?
Oh man, TikTok is like the reason why we were able to survive 2020. I got on TikTok in the end of February in 2020, and the first video I posted, like seriously, my friend was, I posted some videos in January because I'm like, might as well, let's get on TikTok. Everyone's getting on TikTok. Let's get on TikTok. I posted some videos. I didn't understand it though. But yeah, I gave up on TikTok like after posting like 5 just random videos that had like no content whatsoever. It was just like random stuff. But it come the end of February, my friend, he had a viral video and he told me like, yo, get on TikTok. This is going to help your music so much. And I was like, I don't know what to post. And he said, you have so many drum covers and just old content and old videos on YouTube, on your hard drive, old songs, like literally just post any one of those 15 seconds, post it up, fire and forget, and just see what happens. So I did that. I found this old video of a drum solo from like 2 years ago, and I posted it, and it had 400,000 views in one night. I was like, oh, so that's the power of TikTok. And so since then, I was like, okay, TikTok can really, really help me get more reach for myself, for my brand, for the band. So it was just like playing around with TikTok. And then it wasn't until I think about April where there's this girl called Jade Vincent. I think her tag is Jade Can Dance or something like that. And she's got I think 2 million followers now. But basically she did some covers and she was trying to get those covers out there. So she said, anyone who duets my video or uses the sound, if I like it enough, I'm going to duet it on my page. So my friend told me that. He sent that video over to me. And he's like, yo, you should do something with this, remix it or something. I was like, okay, sure. I just woke up from a nap at that point. It was like 6 o'clock on a Thursday. So I ran downstairs, remixed it in like 2 hours. And then I posted it, I tagged her in it. And it happens that she was on TikTok Live. So I typed in the chat, yo, Jade, I made a remix of your Wonderwall cover. Go check it out after you're done the live. And she saw that message. She's like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll check it out. And then she reposted it, and I was like, wow, it's that easy to reach out to big creators. Like someone with, I had like, I think 4,000 followers at that time, and she had like 1.4 million. So it was just so simple to reach out to them. So I thought, what if I just do this with more creators? So I did it with some other people, and then I found, I did it with some other people, got some results, they duetted it, they followed me back, we talked on Instagram. Like, it was just great to make connections. And then 1 week in May, I think, I was like, okay, this whole week, I'm just going to make remixes of famous TikTokers, or not famous TikTokers, but just like musicians who had like big videos. So the first one I did was this girl called Emily Vu. She's at 1.4 million followers. And she liked it so much that she told me to send it to her manager. And then her manager commissioned me for a remix. So I ended up on, so Alex Cade's first song was because of TikTok. I just somehow like they liked my remix enough that they're like, yo, make a full one and we'll add it to our remix album, because they're already gonna have like 2 remixes out, so might as well add a third one, get some extra like streaming and stuff, streaming numbers for them. And then the next day after that, so this was like that released in July, right? But in May, when I was doing that week, the second day, I did this guy called Trey Little. He's got, I think he's at like 1.2 or 1.4 million followers now too, and I remixed his song. And same thing. He doesn't have a manager. He's independent. So he messaged me, or I messaged him, asked him, do you want a full remix of this? And he's like, sure. And that became our second song on Alex Cade, right? So I was like, wow. So since then, especially like during those few weeks where I was just like remixing all these people, just trying to make connections, I never really like blew up on TikTok. Like I only have like 17,000 followers right now. But I realized how easy it was to just reach out to people and connect. And so as opposed to TikTok, like being a thing that's like pushing my music out hard, it is something for me to just network with people, network with other creators, network with other artists, and just get to know them. And I feel like I would love to blow up and get like a million followers or something, but I'm still very, very happy with the results of how TikTok just connected me with like all these people from Australia, from Europe, from the States. Like it's insane, especially with the pandemic. Like I wasn't networking at all. So TikTok was like my way to network. And I've met so many amazing people off of TikTok, like people I talk to on a regular basis, weekly basis. It's crazy. It's such a great community. It's not fake like Instagram. Instagram, I feel like it's just like everyone's business card nowadays, whereas TikTok is just so organic and personal. So I'm just so grateful for TikTok, even though it's like the biggest waste of time. I wouldn't say it's a waste of time, but if you get trapped on it, you know, you get stuck on like there for like an hour or something. But it's been really, really good for my music.
An hour on TikTok is very, very low on my scale. Although now, because I'm searching for a job, I spend more time on Indeed than I think I do on TikTok, which is saying something, because I spend a lot of time on TikTok. But yeah, because I forgot, you guys are in Canada. You guys are Canadian.
Yeah, we're in Toronto.
And you were saying a boot, like, I don't know.
Oh, did I? Yeah, I used to not have that. And then my girlfriend, she's actually from Nova Scotia, which is like the Maritimes, which is like that they have the heavy accent, right? So that's sort of like kind of brushing off on me. Instead of saying bar, I say burr sometimes. and I say about sometimes instead of about. Like, yeah. I don't know. I'll take it. I don't care.
I'm from Ohio, so I have the neutral accent, I guess. Like, our accent is not having an accent, but I say, like, ope all the time. But then sometimes I'll say y'all. Like, when I'm like, what's up, y'all? Like, I'm not from the South. I have a Great Lake. Like, there's snow on the ground. I'm not from the South. Although, I guess that's not saying much because they have snow on the ground. But TikTok is a wild, wild place because I've had two videos go, like, viral, per se. Wow. And they were just me being a dumbass. And I went from, like, 17 followers to, like, 1,000, so it wasn't, like, a ton. But do you know who Ben Brainerd is?
No.
So he's this comedian that does, like, weekly news reviews as, like, the states. So he'll, like, dress up as each of the states. And I was just, like, I have been nonstop thinking about this TikTok for days. And I was like, and I have beef with you because of this. And then everybody kept tagging him in it. And then he responded to it. And I was like, God, I was like, I got to die now. I was like, time to go throw myself out the window.
TikTok is such a fun place. It keeps me in tune with like the younger people. I'm turning 25 in June. So I'm not like too much older than you, but like compared to like the Gen Z people, my little cousins are like 13, 14. And just like seeing how they talk and the emojis they use and like how it's just so different. So TikTok keeps me like a bit more grounded to like these kids that I want them to like my music because EDM is for like younger people in my opinion. So I TikTok keeps me like young and that makes me feel old AF, but
yeah. Well, my friend Ryan, he is in a band and he is on TikTok. He's going to turn 27 next month and I make fun of him for it all the time. But he was like, can you explain to me what this is? Like, he goes, I'm seeing a lot of millennial slander. And he was like, I don't know what this is about. And I was like, well, you should because you're old. I was like, I'm going to have to wheel you into a nursing home. But
man, Gen Zs hate us. Like, I learned. So it doesn't affect me too much. But apparently having like a side part and having like skinny jeans and stuff and using the laughing face emoji just makes you old nowadays. And I had no idea. And I was like, what? And so I showed my girlfriend that. And she's like, yo, I saw that on Facebook and it made me so angry. Like, what's wrong with all these things? Right? So I'm like, okay, so let me look into it. Because it doesn't really matter to me. I'm a guy. Like, I don't care. I just literally just wear like a t-shirt and like tight jeans like all the time. That's literally my thing. And like, no one's going to care. But I asked my little cousin, like 13 and 14, I sent both of them the meme photo is like, this is when you're old. And then my little cousin was like, yeah, my mom does that. I was like, oh, wow.
Oh, no.
And so I showed my girlfriend and now she's like going through an existential
crisis.
Not really, but it's just so funny. It's like skinny jeans and tight jeans are just so convenient. Like, what do you wear? What do you wear other than that? Like, I have no idea.
Right,
doesn't
now,
matter to me though. But yeah,
right now I'm wearing 90s boot cut jeans. So I have a lot of vintage denim, but I still own a couple pairs of skinny jeans. So because I was born in 99, so I was like, I'm right on the cusp.
Yeah.
Of both. So I'm just like, yeah. But I part when my hair is clean, I like part it to the side sometimes. You know, I still use the laughing face emoji. It's.
Yeah, my cousin says they use the stop and the crying one. They use like the hand crying emoji for some reason. I was like, that's really weird. Is that because like you're actually crying on the inside though? It's just the kids are so different these days.
Oh my God, am I old?
Nah, I think that's just like them, her and her school.
Oh, maybe that makes me feel old. Oh God,
actually, I saw this TikTok where there was this 25-year-old, so my age. Complaining about how she saw this TikToker that she loves literally saying, or she was saying that she'd literally kill herself if she ever used, she'd kill herself before using the laughing face emoji. I'm like, what's wrong with that? And I was looking through the comments and then there's like kids defending this TikToker because we both don't understand. There's kids defending this TikToker and saying, she doesn't know any better. She's old. I was like, yo, we're 25. Like, we're not that old. Oh my goodness. It hurt.
I don't know if you've seen the remix, the millennial remix of the girl singing to Boys by Lizzo, but it's the millennial and she just is not on beat at all. It is like,
oh my gosh,
the worst thing I've ever heard. If I can remember where I think I might have saved it and I will send it to you. But like,
please
it is the most god awful thing I've ever heard. And if you could somehow make a remix out of that, I think you would like, that's it. You could blow
well,
up.
We'll see about that. We'll see about that.
Be like, I've made it tolerable.
Man, yeah, you got me depressed now. You got me thinking.
Oh, now I got myself thinking. Oh no.
Nah, you're 22. You still got like some years in you. Like I'm now that I'm 25. There was literally this comment, or there's this video. This girl saying, no, she posted that she was like 24. No, she was posting that she was 22, and then this little kid comments, "Wow, you're 22 already. You look so young."
I said, thanks. I said, I thanks. I look so young from all the souls of children I harvest.
But yeah, there's everyone's cup of tea. Yeah. Don't feel too old.
Oh no. I was like, yeah. Cause I make playlists to go along with to supplement content sometimes because I will be up really late and I'll be like, I have an idea for a playlist, so I'll just throw it together. And I was like, for my birthday one, I was like, I'm closer to being 25 and dead than 18 and fun and flirty. Like, and I was like, you're fine. But I have an old man body, so like my joints crack all the time. And my friend Rory was like, Jen, I can't believe you're gonna be old. And I was like, as soon as I read that text, like all of my joints just cracked. And I was like, how did you do that? I was like, you're 45 minutes away. How in the world did you make that happen? And I was like, no thanks, witchcraft.
Yeah, I just say like anyone under the age of 40 is still young. I just say that to like everyone now.
Yeah. Well, my go-to is you don't look a day over 25, you know? That's my guess of like, if I'm pretty sure they're older than 25, I'll be like, oh, you look like you're 25. And they're like, you're being nice. And I was like, listen, I'm a very bad guesser of age. To be fair, if it's not written down on the calendar, I wouldn't know mine.
Man, I used to do, you know, 1-800 Got Junk. You ever heard of that company?
I have.
So I used to work with them for like three months. But basically, I went into this home one time, and then I saw this picture of this girl in a graduation gown, and then the client was there. And I said, oh, is that your granddaughter? Oh, no, that's my daughter. So I basically just, like, called this woman. I thought she was, like, grandma age. And after that, I was like, I just didn't want to go back.
You were like, so oh.
Yeah.
You're like, time to die, I guess.
That's me every day.
Time to die, I guess. Any minor inconvenience. Well, I guess I'll die. Don't tell my psychiatrist I said that.
Wow.
Because then I'll get committed and I don't have time for that.
There's just so much good stuff to live for, though. Like,
oh, yeah.
Speaking of like mental health and stuff, like I do go through, especially as an artist, like this career path is insane. The trajectories, the roller coasters that we go through. So, I wouldn't say like I've ever been suicidal, but there's just times where I'm just like, I don't want to exist anymore. Yeah. I mean, I just want to like just like stop. I mean, except like everything else keeps going. I just want to just like, pause time.
See, I said
just,
that.
Like, let myself recover.
See, I said that, and then a pandemic happened, and everything really did stop. And I went, so what now?
Yeah, except you're still getting older. We're still getting older though.
Yeah.
Right? Because of that pandemic, which sucks. It's just like it's making it even worse. This pandemic has been like, man, it's been hard on like everyone's mental health.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, man, you just gotta find ways to take care of yourself, especially during these times.
Well, part of my notebook is I'm working on a side project. I haven't figured out the name for it, but like a mental health series where I'm like interviewing my friends and like people about, you know, their experience with mental health and like very specific ones. And a lot of people are like, yeah, you know, I feel it, but then I feel like everybody else has it. Like, you don't. Very few people that I meet like don't have any form of like mental illness. And I don't know what that says about me or if it's just like the culture that we're around, but we grew up in like the Tumblr age, like when we're very impressionable and the frontal lobe is still developing and, you know, thinspo was a thing and all of the stuff that I probably shouldn't have been exposed to at 12 or 13, but I was.
I think it's really different for everyone because I know like, especially because mental health is just such a broad thing. Like people might have some stuff going on that they don't even know, Like I have anxiety sometimes because of my work, right? But then I didn't recognize that until like honestly like last year. So it's different for everyone, and especially like with the culture that I grew up with. So I'm Chinese, right? My parents are fresh from Hong Kong. They don't talk about mental health. It's not a thing, right? They're just like, oh, you're depressed. You're screwed up. Take some pills. Go do this. Go do that. Oh, you're depressed. That doesn't exist. Just be happy, right? So it's definitely different, but it's I feel like it's such a great time right now to grow up, to be a kid, and to learn about all these things. And even like at our age, that's, I'm grouping you in with it's me okay. now. It's going to make me feel younger. But at our age, like we still have time to like learn about this stuff and recover, as opposed to, you know, our parents' age where they're kind of, it was kind of beaten out of them. It didn't exist for them. And they just don't understand what it is. And like, if they're feeling down, they're just like, oh, that is what it is. Whatever. Just let it be.
Yeah. I'm the first in my family to get a bipolar diagnosis, like an official bipolar diagnosis. So my handy dandy pill container, this is my flex.
Wow.
It's a
That's actually really cute.
Thank you. I got it at CVS. It was not that expensive, but my uncle may or may not have had it, but he never got like an official diagnosis. So I'm the only one that has it. And my parents are very much like, keep it on the hush hush. And every time I get the chance, I'm like, I'm bipolar, people. Let's talk about it. Cause to me, like, it was like a gut punch almost when I got diagnosed with it. Cause like, I knew I had anxiety. I knew I had depression. Like, I know I have PTSD, but like bipolar was something that I wasn't really expecting. So to get it, it was kind of like, it was that big, like it took the wind out of you. And then I was like, and this was right before Christmas too. So like, then you got a fake being happy.
Was it like last year?
No, it was like this Christmas, like in 2020. So I was like, yeah. So between that and then, you know, a lot of my extended, like my grandparents don't really know. Cause like, we just don't talk about it. We just don't talk about me and my personal life, very much. Just because it's much easier. And like you said, it's just, sometimes it's just easier to just like not talk about it. Or they're like, yeah, take some pills.
Exactly.
Be happy. And I was like, okay, I'll try. Like, I'm in a good place right now, but that still means I'm not going to like struggle with it. Because especially content creators are so much more prone to burnout.
Oh, yeah. Literally. I think like at least once or twice a month, I do get burnout as a content creator. Especially like, because I'm trying to go fast, right? Like, I say I'm not old, but I don't want to be doing music and not making. Or so right now, I am making like a decent amount of money for a musician right now. But like, I want to make a comfortable living, and I don't want to be still pursuing that comfortable living when I'm 30 or something. I do want to have kids, right? But I want to make sure that music is the thing that supports them, supports my family, and all of that. So I feel you, like definitely on that burnout. Just trying to like do as much as you can. But then just taking care of yourself, it's a hard balance.
It is a hard balance, especially because, like, you see people like Charlie D'Amelio, and she's, like, 15, 16, and then it makes you feel like, oh, my God, what am I doing with my life? And then you meet other people who are, like, the same age as you, and they're, like, onto bigger and better things, and you're like, oh, my God, what am I doing with my life? Like, I have to, like, constantly be moving. But the good news is that my dad was a musician. Well, he still is a musician. He's in a dad band. With a bunch of other,
I love it.
A bunch of other dads. He plays guitar, and that's what they do. Is they just, I mean, they haven't played any gigs because of the pandemic, but that's what they were doing for a while. He's been in dad bands for as long as I can remember, and the band that he's in now, they've been together for almost 10 years now, I think, and they're a cover band, but they've started writing their own music again. So push comes to shove, you can always be in a dad band after you have kids.
No, I will never be in a dad band. You will never find me in a dad band. Somewhat related note, I saw on a meme, or was it even a meme? It was just like, it was a legit album, but it's like dad rock on a dad rock playlist. They had Sum 41 there. They had Avril Lavigne there. I'm like, that's not dad rock.
My dad would never be caught dead listening to Avril Lavigne. He calls her Mrs. Chad Kroger, and they're not even married anymore.
Wow.
Like.
All right. So I'm not too old yet.
No. Since Nickelback, what are your thoughts on Nickelback? Are you like a Nickelback hater, or do you like them?
I don't like them, but I have a lot of respect for what they did. I actually read up on why people hate Nickelback. And this was like, I read that like 2 weeks ago, but basically they were signed to, when they first came out, they were signed to a metal label. And as you know, they're not metal at all, which is why all the hate started circulating. But like for the amount of stuff that they were able to do, right, being the world's most hated band, like their songs weren't bad. They were just like, it's like Drake. You know what I mean? Drake just has like so many songs that are just hits that you're just so indifferent to it. I think it's the same with Nickelback. Like Photograph by itself, if you take Photograph out of the Nickelback context, it's like, it's not a bad song. I wouldn't say it's an amazing song, but it's not a bad song, right? Same with all Nickelback songs, right? But it's just like, I think with the context of Nickelback who being who they are, that's why their music is bad. But that's not to say like I love Nickelback, but I'm like, I don't hate them, and I respect them very much for all the things that they were able to accomplish being in the situation they were in.
That's interesting, because I never knew why. Like, I was just growing up to be like, hate Nickelback from my dad, but my mom loves Nickelback, so like I've listened to it. And sometimes, you know, they do have some bangers, not gonna lie. But, you know, my dad's like, I hate Nickelback. And then he was like, oh, this song is really good. And my mom's like, you know, this is Nickelback, right? And he goes like, what?
Yeah.
It was a...
Yeah, it's Nickelback. Nickelback.
Yep.
They have Grammys, right? They sell world tours
right.
and stuff.
So obviously they're not bad. They're doing something right.
Yeah.
I see a drum kit behind you. How long have you been playing the drums?
Oh, my drum kit. I've been playing since I was 12, I think. 11? 12? No, 12. When I was 12. I started playing... You know, do you remember the video game Rock Band?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, so like that got me into drumming. I was like, I want to drum. As an Asian kid, I was put into piano lessons when I was like 6, and I hated piano. So like, I did enjoy music, but like I didn't really understand music. But I was like, drums are cool. I'm gonna get lots of girls. I can get my crushes to talk to me. So that's why I started playing drums. Right, got my first drum kit, and then like since then, like drumming is basically how I started really developing like my music career. I started making drum covers when I was in grade 11, when I was 16. And then just seeing like all this attention, like I had a pretty banging YouTube channel back then. And then I just stopped because I just didn't care anymore. But I just saw like all these random people were just giving me attention. And then that actually ended up getting me in my first band. It was a Chinese pop band though, but it was still a band. And I did make a good chunk of money, but like I made some great connections, and I did end up making money from that band when I was still in high school. So when my parents saw that, so being just like direct immigrants from Hong Kong, from just Asia, they're not about the music life. Like, you can do music for fun, right? We'll put you in piano lessons. We'll force piano lessons on you. We'll put you in piano lessons, but no, you're going to become a doctor or a lawyer, or you're going to start a business and or get a real job or something. But then because like I actually made money through music, they're like, oh, okay. And then I got a scholarship to a music school. So in first year university, and that's all for drumming, right? I got a scholarship for my first year, and then I switched schools after that. But then like just throughout my time, like drumming has been like a source of income for me, and my parents were just so baffled by that. And then now that I've transitioned into doing more Alex Kidd, so like I got bored of drumming. Or I didn't get bored of drumming, but I just didn't want to make for other people my main thing. There's just so much competition out there, and like drumming is like, I love it, but I want to be the star, basically. And you can't be the star if you're a drummer. But through Alex Kidd, I can be the star as a drummer. So that's basically how I started Alex Kidd. And with Alex Kidd, with this new mindset of like, oh, my music is a business. I am doing the things that they're like, they told me to do, which is start a business, but they just still don't understand it. But at least like, because they've seen the money come in, they're like, okay, I guess we'll just get off his back about this. I actually got bed bugs and cockroaches back in 2019 in my old apartment with my girlfriend. And I've been living out of my parents from like, or I moved out from my parents 2 years ago before that. So when we got bed bugs and cockroaches, my parents were like, yo, just move back in here. Like, we're so close. Lena might, or my girlfriend might have to move somewhere like before a new lease is ended or something. So it just made things easier. And they just let me kind of move back in and just fully invest all my time, all my money into my music. And it's been like, I've seen the results. They don't understand the results yet. But then at the end of the year, when I show them like just my income statement, they'll be like, okay, this is real now.
You're like, all right. You're like the Dave Grohl of Alex Cade.
imagine. I wish I could sing though, man.
So on your website, it says that you guys do EDM that's like enjoyable without drugs. So like, I don't know much about, I know very little. Like I had a small, minuscule dubstep phase when I was in middle school, and that was about it. I think it was like Skrillex and like Avicii, and maybe that was about it. So explain to me the culture of EDM, because I don't know shit, so.
Well, with EDM, if you ever just like hear about raves, like the rave culture, the festival culture, everyone's just like, they're just all drugged up, right? So basically what Alex Cade is just like, these people are so drugged up that they don't even care about like what's happening on stage. They're paying like hundreds, 200s, just thousands of dollars to be at these festivals, these clubs. But the DJ, like a good chunk of them are just not really doing anything. And visually that's just not appealing. And some of them literally they just press play and just like hang out and they talk to their friends. And it's just like, these people are paying that much money for this concert, for this festival, for this experience. They should be getting something better out of it. Like, yeah, they're still having a good time, but what if we can make that an even better time? And that's how Alex Cade came to be. Like I thought, I'm a drummer, I love EDM. How can we incorporate these things? How can we just make EDM just like a good performance, as opposed to just like letting the smoke and the lights and the fireworks and the drugs do the work, right? So our slogan is, you can still enjoy our EDM show even if you forget to bring your drugs. But yeah, like moving forward, we had a great, so our, because we first released our song, back in 2020, we haven't had time to like go out and perform, but we did have a big performance on Twitch back in November, and that like everyone loved it, and like a lot of people stayed and watched the whole thing, and they didn't expect themselves to watch the whole thing, which means that what we're doing is good. Like these people, they're completely sober, right? It was just like, what was it? It was a Saturday night, right? Everyone's just on their computers. It's a pandemic. No one's partying, but like a good chunk of people stayed and watched. I think we had like 83 people at most just watching the concert. We had 153 unique people like swing by, and just like thinking about that, like 100 people is a lot, 50 people is a lot, but thinking like three times that came to watch Alex Cade's show, and like 83 people actually stayed to watch the whole thing. I was like, that's wild. But yeah, like I just don't think it's okay for DJs to not be putting any effort into their performances when these people are just paying so much to see them. And yeah, these people are having a good time, but we want to make that experience even better. We want to make sure that these people are entertained, whether it's like someone who's just like sober or like someone who's like all drugged up, and then they see us, they're like, wow, this is even crazier. And they're like tripping even harder. I'm not discounting what DJs do. There's a lot of great DJs who like put a lot of effort in their shows, but from what I've seen, the majority of DJs kind of don't really do as much as they should on the performance side. A lot of them are great producers, but on the performance side, it's very, very lackluster. And we want to change that culture.
That's like, it is really interesting, because I'm a concert photographer, but like I don't do big crowds very well, so I'm like an oxymoron. So I don't really know that much about it, because my primary focus has always been like rock or pop or like something at like House of Blues or something like small and local. So it is really interesting to me to hear about that, because that just sounds like, I'm just imagining it in my brain, and I was like, that sounds so overwhelming, like already.
we're trying to bring like that rock vibe to EDM, just having like the insane concert where you're just watching the artists. And like, as opposed to the music and the drugs and the lights that are kind of making you feel whatever it is you're feeling, we want to be the artists. We want to be the people, like the rock bands, like the AC/DCs, who are just like doing the crazy stuff and putting on a performance. And people are like, yo, we want to see a show. If you want to go see an EDM show, go go to there. If you want to get drugged up and stuff, go to a club. But if you want to see a show, check out Alex Cade. That's what we're aiming for.
Do you have a particular like DJ or like show that you've gone to that like sticks out as like something you want to like emulate or like one of the best shows that you've seen?
I think for me, like I've never really been to like EDM festivals, but I went to two EDM concerts before I snuck in. But basically, when I saw what they're doing, it was, again, it was just lackluster. But I know I love performances, and I've seen like just like rock bands and stuff. I don't know if you ever heard of Periphery. They're like a prog rock band. They're one of my favorites. But basically, their show was insane, and it was just like. It wasn't super, super special, but just the feelings that came out of that with like all the live instruments, just all the feeling, all the people like singing their songs and stuff. Like it just felt so much better. And then same with just like whenever there was like live instruments and musicians doing stuff, just doing something and having fun on stage. It was just so much better. It just felt so much more fun. Whereas watching these EDM performances, like, yeah, like people are having a good time, but that's because a lot of them are drunk or just drugged up and stuff. And like the DJs, yeah, they're like jumping around doing their thing, but it's really like, it's just not my thing. Right. So that's why I want to kind of bring that live instrumentation, that kind of rock vibe to EDM. And our music is still EDM, is 100% EDM, but in the performance that we're trying to kind of move that over and cross over the genres.
So I wrote this down in my notebook. It says, how the fuck do you make EDM like songs? So could you take me through the process of what songwriting is like? Because I know it took you guys 3 years to release your first song, I guess, per se.
Yeah, our debut original single. It really isn't too different from writing like any other song, except like sometimes just now you just don't have lyrics, right? You got to figure out, okay, what chords sound good, what melody do you want in this section, how do you want the drum pattern to sound like everything that you do in rock music, you just kind of move that over to EDM, and then it's just like picking the sounds. Okay, this sounds like EDM, this doesn't sound like EDM, this sounds like the special subgenre EDM. It sounds better than this. So it's just like, it's a lot of sound design, picking the right sounds. And it's just very universal. Like if you can write a good EDM song, then, or if you can write a good song off your guitar and just sing, you should be able to write a good EDM song with like some extra knowledge of like sound design and just like where things go and how to make it full and stuff. It's really, people think it's super, super hard, but it just comes down to practice and stuff. And watching lots of free YouTube videos, like you can learn everything off of YouTube. I've only been producing for like what, a year and a, not even a year and a half now, but like I've been able to get like all these opportunities producing and remixing for other people. I've been paid to do it. You know what I mean? So it's like producing is not super, super hard. You just have to practice and educate yourself on what to do.
Yeah, because my little brother, he's getting into music and he makes beats, which I feel like is like the first step to like getting to the next level. But if you could collab with anybody, and I mean like anybody, doesn't matter, who would you want to do a collab with and why?
Man, it's got to be Diplo. Like he's just such a legend. He's written so many tracks and just produced so many tracks that are just like every genre possible. And his vibe, he just seems like such a nice guy. I mean, he just seems like a down-to-earth guy. He worked hard, so it's got to be Diplo, right? He's like one of my idols.
So I send a ton of emails all the time to PR people, and I throw them all at the wall, and then whatever sticks, but it usually ends me up on like PR press lists or like how to get to their manager. So I would say if you really wanted to, you can probably like a quick Google search and be like, who's Diplo's manager? And then like send them an email and be like, hey, what's up?
I've totally done that. I've emailed like the Chainsmokers managers. Like they have two managers. I've DM'd them. I've emailed them. I've emailed so many managers, but it's just like, they're just, first of all, I'm not big enough for them to really care. And secondly, they just get so many emails that like, you really got to email them a ton, but then I don't want to contribute to that mass email. So I'm like, I'll wait. I'll shoot my shot. Like when I know I'm ready, that's when I'll shoot my shot.
Yeah. Try their PR people too. I always like CC everybody on the same email and somebody will respond eventually.
That's very smart. I will definitely try that.
Between doing radio and doing this, I have a little bit of a little bit of skill. So, where do you take like inspiration from? Like, who inspires your music? It could be like personal. It could be music. It could be both.
Just like anything I hear. I used to do a lot of jazz, so like I still use like a lot of like jazzy chords, just like way too complicated. The chords that are way too complicated that no one notices, I still use them in my music. Just anything I listen to, and in terms of like my work ethic, it's like just like, you know, all the hustle porn you see on Instagram. I love that stuff. I watch all of it, right? All the hustle porn on TikTok, I watch all of it. And so I just listen to a good chunk of music, like just like so many different genres. And like when I hear something that sounds good, like I was saying before, if you can write like a good acoustic, just singer or vocal and guitar song, you can make a good EDM song. So whenever I hear something like in a piece of music I listen to, I'm like, okay, how can I incorporate this into my EDM? So it's just like all these, there's too many artists out there that I love. So just listening to like all this music, it just, everything inspires me.
That's cool. So was EDM, like, do you use Spotify?
Yes.
So I assume, was EDM like your top genre for the year?
I don't even remember. My top artist was actually, it was Brockhampton. They're a rap group.
Yeah.
From Texas. I love them. But I don't remember that. Like, I just kind of scrolled through my Spotify thing. And I was like, I don't really care. It's like,
my, get back to work or something. My top artist was Grandson.
Grandson's pretty dope. Yeah.
Lyrically, shit's the chef's kiss. cannot recommend enough. But like my top genres are like pop rock, like show tunes, rock, alternative rock, like that kind
of stuff. Show tunes, I love it.
Show tunes right in the middle. I'm a huge Hamilton fan, so.
Yo, oh my gosh, I listened. So we're driving 17 hours from Toronto to Nova Scotia. And we listened, my girlfriend and I, we just listened to like the Hamilton soundtrack like 5 times and it was stuck in our heads. And like recently, just last week, the whole Hamilton soundtrack was stuck in her head again. So whenever I saw her, she was just singing it. I'm like, man, stop, please. But like, it's a good soundtrack. I love Hamilton.
It's really cool because it's, for me, it holds a really special place in my heart because when I got really sick, yes, George. Yes, I am aware that you would like attention.
Oh.
He's very needy.
Yeah.
He's an outdoor cat and he hasn't gone out to go to the bathroom yet today. So, but he's asleep. So I'm like, I don't know what he's doing.
That's really cute.
But, so when I first started getting really sick, Hamilton was the album that I played on repeat because it was fast paced enough to like keep up with my anxiety. But like also once I started learning the lyrics, it became like sort of like a mantra almost. So I could probably recite the whole album like on my own. Nobody in my family will let me do that. Nobody wants a performance by me to them. And I said, I'm not even charging you for it.
have you seen the full thing on Disney?
I have. I have. It's dope. I tried to see it when it came to Cleveland, but I was in college at the time, so I had no money. And
Texas are so expensive. It's insane.
Yeah. And I don't drive. So I had no way to get up there because I was about an hour away. So.
Man, the states are so big. Like, I don't understand where everything is. Like, there's just so many cities and just so many people everywhere. And just like, people are just saying like, oh, I drove here to here. But I'm like, I thought those places were close.
Yeah.
But it turns out they're not.
So Ohio is just like, there's like Columbus, Cincinnati, and Cleveland, which are like the big, like suburban, and I guess Toledo, or they're like the big cities. And then everything else is like cornfield or like soybeans. It's just farmland. It's like insane. So like I live outside of Cleveland. I live about 20 minutes to a half hour outside of Cleveland. So when I went to college, I was at Kent. Excuse me while I just die on this end of the call. And so I went to Kent and then I live in Twinsburg. And that's the halfway point between both is like where I live right now. So getting to concerts is really good because I'd be like, hey, you know, when I email them, I'm like, I need an extra ticket for my rider. So I was like, cool, somebody drive me to go see a concert. You don't even have to pay. I'll even pay for parking.
That's awesome. That's so sick.
If you guys ever do a tour, come to Cleveland.
Oh, I definitely will.
It's a cool city.
Yeah. Like, I haven't even thought that far into like the States yet, especially like with Trump before. Like, it was such a mission getting into the States as a musician. So now, hopefully, with Biden, like things will be like a bit less stressful because I don't want to get banned from the States forever. I mean,
you'd have to do a lot to get banned. They still let me live here, so
it's just with the music industry for some reason. Like, the States are just so tough on Canadian musicians for some reason. It's weird. The laws are weird. There's so much legal stuff.
That's like, so weird, considering a lot of Americans shoot their, like, shows and stuff in Canada.
Oh, yeah, it's easy for Americans to get in Canada, but, like the other way around, I don't know why it's so strict. It's stupid, but, you know, it is what it is.
We have no beef with Canada. That's interesting to me. I'll have to look into that, because I was
Yeah, the visas are weird. Visas are so expensive.
But my last question is, do you have any advice to creatives or people that are just starting out? Like, anything you wish you would have known or any words of wisdom that you could offer?
Take care of yourself. Listen to your body. Listen to your mental state. When you feel like you can't go anymore, don't, and just chill. But also, don't confuse that with you feeling lazy and not wanting to do work when you still can. I think that's the biggest thing, and that's what's stopping a lot of people from pursuing things that they love, even if it's just a hobby. Like, some people, they're like, oh, this is too much work, I can't handle it, my mental health can't handle it. Is it because you really can't handle it because this is causing this, right? Or is it because you're just feeling a bit lazy and this is kind of feeling like schoolwork? Because even though things are fun, hobbies are fun, I do music for fun, there are times where it's going to be hard, especially like anything that you want in life, it's going to be tough getting it, right? So it's just listening to your body and just knowing your limits, but also knowing what you need to do as well, and splitting that up into how you can handle it yourself. It's your own path, right? Don't compare yourself to others. Yeah. That's what I have to say.
That's really good. So if there's anything else you'd like to add, the floor is yours. If you ever watch Hot Ones, you know, you've completed the wings, this camera, this camera, this camera.
Man, just thank you, Jen, for having me.
Of course.
You're such a cool person. Oh, I love your background. It's like the most colorful background I've ever seen.
It's what I like to call my YouTube wall. So I have all these, like, I have a Hamilton piece up there, actually. And then I have some like different posters, and I color grade with all the art that I have. I don't draw, but I have friends who do.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So just to plug in my socials.
Yes. If
anyone here likes EDM, go check out Alex Cade on Spotify. Alex, like A-L-E-X space Cade, K-A-D-E on Spotify. On Instagram, we're at Alex Cade Music. On TikTok, Alex doesn't have TikTok, so it's just me. So that's at Music by Cade. And Facebook, YouTube, Alex Cade Music. Just Google Alex Cade Music, and then you'll find us everywhere.